episode 193, Blame Saverin, because we always do.
Yep.
This is Shiva.
And I'm Saverin.
And we are fuzzless.
Yep.
We got shaved.
You know, when I said that our lives are getting a little crazy this time of year, we meant it. This weekend, Fuzz is moving into his new place, he and Tieran.
They are absolutely, well, one panicked and two ecstatic.
It's
kind of a mix of, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
With, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
With the crying.
But yeah, they have a really kick-ass new house. And
I love that place.
It's really neat.
It's very unique, very kind of custom. So,
And tonight is their last minute packing. Oh god, oh god. You know, because they got to get everything into boxes because the movers are coming in the morning and they're going to be up stupid late. And Fuzz is going to have like a nervous breakdown at some point because, you know,
and there'll be emotions. Pat, pat, honey, it'll be okay. Pat, pat, let me get you a sandwich.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like this weekend, they're moving. Next weekend is Rainforest. I don't know if Fuzz is going to be around for that one. I think only one of them's going to that one. And then the week afterward is Galaxicon.
Hopefully he can relaxicon there.
He's vending.
I know.
So it's like vending. Well, moving, then vending twice.
And then a little bit a week, and then Oaklacon.
Yeah.
All the crazy.
But then the weekend before that, I'm going down to TRF for a Saturday.
I want to see if I can go because...
I know how to get $15 tickets.
Ooh.
I can tell you during the break.
Ooh.
It's 1001 Nights Weekend that's coming up.
Oh, I won't be able to go then.
Oh, sorry.
It's probably going to be November.
Oh, I can't help you then.
Oh, well. I'm hoping to go to the Highland Games weekend, but I don't know. Oh, God.
Yeah. 1001 Nights is just going to be cheap enough. Well, and, you know.
Coming up in November, I've got a groundbreaking event happening. So I've lived in Texas since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
My family has never come to visit me, ever, in that entire time. None of my family has ever come to Texas. Well, no. My sister came when she was, like, 17, swung by for the weekend, or she was, like, barely 18, and picked up a boyfriend while she was here. And, yeah, but that's my 18-year-old sister coming for a weekend during ACON is not exactly...
So you're going to have family coming for visit.
Yeah, my mom is coming to Texas over Veterans Day. God help me.
Oh, my. Yeah, that does sound a bit exciting.
Yeah, so, but, so I go have to show her around. I don't know if we'll do, I think TRF will be a much to try and squeak in that weekend, trying to get down there, and it's a lot of driving, too. She's only going to be here for like 4 days.
Yeah. I'm not sure what I'm planning on going. I'd like to go, but I don't want to necessarily drive down by myself.
So you got to camp?
Yeah. If I go down, I'm going to camp. It's like I have to.
Well, I've done the camping thing like twice, and I've done the stay in a hotel cuz the year that my ex's mother came over from Australia, we took her down to TRF and we ended up staying in a hotel because she's an older lady and not that. She's pretty frail, so we ended up doing the hotel. And we've done the hotel and try to commute into TRF and try to commute out, and that is a bitch. It is so much better just to camp.
Yeah, see, I'm kind of like, I would like to camp because there's a group that is going down there that I could camp with and would have a large campground to work upon. But then again, it's like...
You don't want to drive down alone.
Oh, it's like I want to go, but I don't want to go. And camping is great, but then I don't really want to camp. It's like, oh, I want to do it, but I don't know if I want to do it. Be fat and suspicious.
Well, I admit that because Siam's back is so bad, we do the whole air mattress thing because if he sleeps on the ground, we're going to be going to the chiropractor for the next 5 weeks to try and get him unbroken again. So air mattress for him. So it's kind of camping in that you're sleeping in a tent, but you eat so much crap at the fair. You don't do a lot of cooking at your tent site. You sleep on an air mattress. I mean, it's only borderline camping.
Yeah.
So.
But you're at a rent fair, which is only borderline history.
Yes. So it's close.
And if you're on 1001 Nights weekend.
It's even farther.
You got fairies and wizards and shit up in there.
See, the only weekend I've ever done TRF is 1001 Nights. That's the only weekend. So I really, if I go down, I would really love to do Highland Games because I love me some kilts and I love me some bagpipes.
Well, the Dallas group used to organize a bunch of us to go down there, and
it was always 1001 Nights.
Oh, that was okay.
Yeah.
Well, like I used to cosplay. I was Plague Doc.
Yep. But and, yeah, that's.
I still have my mask sitting over on the.
Well.
Game shelf over there.
Between money and OklaCon is like right on top of it.
Yeah, it's
and
like we the week after.
And we were going to move. We kind of wrote it off for October this year and thought maybe November. So I might see how money goes, see if Sarah wants to go down. And yeah. I know Siam well. I mean, that's a given. It's just a matter of money, but camping is cheap. So it's mostly getting in that's, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I'll end up doing, but it's an option. And yes, OklaCon's coming soon.
Yes, it is. It is right on top of us. We've got a cabin, so I got to wrangle everybody who's going to be sleeping in the cabin and get me some money.
Yeah, that's important. We just paid off. We got lodge rooms because why not?
Yeah, I inherited the... cabin from one of our friends because I like doing it, and I didn't quite realize you had to.
It's a 4-day minimum.
I didn't realize that until like last week, and it's like,
neither did we till last year.
Yeah, I didn't see when I inherited it. Nobody mentioned that to me, and I'm having trouble filling it for all 4 days so that somebody besides me is paying for it.
Yeah, $400 is not something you want to eat.
No,
unexpectedly.
So I'm seeing what I can do to fill out the extra nights.
Yeah, well, except what's funny is, like, we dropped our cabin this year, but then we're doing 4 nights at the lodge. Same cost, whatever.
Yeah, I might do. Well, see, next year I probably won't be going to OklaCon. We're going to be, I'm going to try to, next October, go back up to New England, because that's the best time, and right smack dab in the middle of October is the best time to go up there, and I can't afford OklaCon and a trip to New England because holy crap, that's expensive.
Yep.
Because I'm going to have to fly. I'm probably going to have to rent a car and then tootling around there. I mean, we can crash some with family, but other than that, I mean, it's going to be, you know, cha-ching.
Yep.
Because that's going to take some saving. So probably going to have to skip OklaCon next year, but we'll see.
We'll see. Life may be crazy next year. We don't know. So yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, it's been a pretty busy week in terms of other things. Video games came out.
Yeah, I did a midnight release for Borderlands 2, and I don't even play the game.
Did you?
Sarah wanted to do a midnight release over in Richardson. It's the one Gearbox was there.
Oh, yeah, that's because that's where they're at.
Yeah, so Gearbox was there. There was a voice of Claptrap. Like, one of the directors, a bunch of devs were all there.
Oh, cool.
So, gave away, I think he walked away with a keychain, a bright yellow t-shirt, 2 posters, and there was a 5th thing. I'm trying to remember what the goodie was. But of course, I got the game. But with all the people there, he got, like, the game signed, the poster signed. So he walked away, but we didn't get in that night until like almost 1:32 because, you know, midnight release, and he was in one of the last groups.
Yeah, that's really cool, though. I mean, the guys from Gearbox, they put on some good shows. They even did a big launch party for Duke Nukem, and that was a shithole. but Borderlands 2, yeah, it's out. It's a lot of fun.
It looks pretty. I haven't played Borderlands 1, so I was kind of like...
You don't have to play 1 to play 2.
I kind of wanted, though, first, but... I was looking to pick it up next time it gets
cheap. It goes down to like $250 on Steam, so...
Well, that's what it's just... I was watching it to go cheap on Steam, then I'd pick it up and then maybe play Borderlands 2.
But it's a lot of fun. If you liked Borderlands, it is more Borderlands. If you're kind of iffy, you'll probably like the changes they made. And if you didn't like Borderlands, you won't like Borderlands 2.
Well, one of the things about going to the release is that they gave us some antidotes. And one of them is there's one gun, and I am terrible at remembering strings of model names. It was the one that you reload by throwing.
The Tidiori...
Yeah, the word.
Yeah.
It begins with a T, and the rest I can't remember already.
Yeah, what's really funny is that in the game, each of the manufacturers, it makes markedly different guns, and the brand is important on terms of the weapons.
So, but that gun, the one that you throw to reload, they want to make it something special, so it has an epic reload. It's called the Baby Maker. And what it is you throw the gun, and when it does its little thing, it shoots out a little gun. And it's got like a pink trailer, you know, the little like glow that follows it. Mm-hmm. The one's pink, or it'll do a blue trailer for a boy or girl. Well, they thought that this was neat. So they went to the U.S. Board of Census and got the exact ratio of boy to girl births in the U.S. So you've got the U.S. birth ratio is the exact percentages of boy guns versus girl guns that you'll get. Then they thought, oh, wait, sometimes people have twins and triplets. So they went and got those stats. So occasionally you'll throw the gun and you'll get twins. And they said, well, that happened too rarely. So we just multiplied that factor by 10 so people would get twins more often. But they said that they'd be working in the studio and there'd be testers and such. And you'd hear from down the hall, it's twins!
Nice. So did they say that it was on all the guns, or it was like a special thing that they gave away?
They just said it was on the TDR.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand the gun, so I'm not sure exactly how the reload comes into effect. But
yeah, so there's in Borderlands, there's several different companies that make weapons.
Mm-hmm.
There's Vladov, which is Russian themed, high bullet throughput weapons. There's Jacobs, which is Wild West themed. They have high recoil, high damage,
mm-hmm.
but they're not very accurate after the first couple shots. There's TDR, as you said, who makes cheap middle of the road guns that when you reload it, you just throw the gun away and they helpfully teleport a new one into your hands and the gun explodes. There is a problem. Look, you can shoot one bullet and then go to reload it. But the thing is, it consumes all the ammo that is in the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So you burn through ammo faster if you're trying to use it as grenades.
But you can.
Maliwan does the elemental effect chance.
Mm-hmm.
Torgu is all gyrojets all the time. So their gun shoots little rockets, all of them, including the shotgun, which is kind of ridiculous. There's Dahl, which is just middle of the road guns that aren't fancy, they aren't flashy, but they work. And there's Hyperion, who get more accurate the longer you fire.
Huh.
And then there's the Bandit guns, which are Bandit modified versions of other guns that have pretty much huge clips. So they differentiated the brands. Basically, the type of weapon you get
is a brand.
So, like, you can, you know, if you get this particular type of, you know, gun, this brand of gun, you can kind of guess how it's going to act.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get this kind of gun, it's going to tell you how it's going to act. And their appearance feels into it. You know, if a pistol has an extended grip on the back, it's going to have a higher stability. If the gun has a little scope on it, it's going to have a scope of some sort. So you don't end up with, like, weird scopes on guns that aren't usable or scopes on guns that aren't usable.
So my household between Siam and Sarah has been full of the jungle drum sound of Borderlands 2. It's got that kind of bass drumming that's going mm-hmm. on. And they sound like jungle drums to me, so I've been hearing nothing but bam, 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 and jungle drums, like the past since it came out. All the Borderlands 2.
It's super fun, and then Torchlight 2 came out.
Yeah, that's on the to-get list, but I dropped money on Mist of Pandaria. Yeah.
And that's coming soon, too, but that's we're going to get there Tuesday. In a minute. Next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I hope my Amazon pre-order gets here soon.
Oh.
But yeah, I haven't actually had a chance to play Torchlight 2. It came out yesterday, and haven't had a chance. I've installed it, haven't had a chance to play.
No, I've been gearing up for WoW, so.
So, WoW, Mists of Pandaria coming out here in 1 week's time.
Panda.
So, me and Tesser, we've been, we decided that we were going to duo two sets of characters through the game. We're basically filling out our rosters at this point because we're, like, each missing one or two classes from our array of classes.
Mm-hmm.
I was missing a hunter because I transferred my hunter over to Muradin. Well, back when I was going to play with Sarah and Co. on that server.
Is it still there?
Yeah, my hunter's there with all my heirlooms.
Ooh.
So I had to...
Well, I'm still there. You can come play with me.
Yeah, but all my mains are on Ravencrest.
Yeah, but I have your heirlooms.
I know. well, all of them except for the caster ones. But I actually had to go re-earn the bow and the male hunter gear. Because they're still bound to the server they're on, unfortunately.
I wish you could mail cross-server.
Oh, God, I wish. But anyways, so we're leveling up hunters, and hunters are awful to level until about you start getting your traps at, like, the 40s.
I never had that many problems with them. You don't want to know how many hunters I've taken up.
Well, they changed it so that your AoE damage is zilch. Your scattershot now does 60% weapon damage. That's it. The Widow Venom effect that made survival so retardedly OP is gone. So, like, it's just 60% weapon damage. And it's 40 focus, and it does nothing more than tickle them. You know? I'm level 60 on this hunter now, and it still does, like, 100 damage. 150 damage.
That's kind of... If I think, and I haven't leveled up a hunter, and got mine.
Well, the reason we're doing it is because we're trying to level them with the new system to see how it is.
So far, not impressed.
You know, if I was leveling him solo, I wouldn't want to do it.
What's sad is I did that kind of with I've never played Boomkin, which is Druid. Sarah really likes Boomkin. That's his main favorite flavor of Druid. I've always tanked and healed. He does Boomkin. I really don't do Kitty either. So it's like, but he makes it sound so much fun, so we decided to level more druids. And I've been doing Boomkin all the way up. The thing is that, and that's, I'm not sure what to make of it. So, okay, Moonfire, you know, all that fun stuff with...
Yeah, they're going back and forth.
But there was been a couple things where I was sneaking along as a Kitty. I get caught, and I mash a button without thinking about it, and I do Kitty damage. And it's like, I am killing... I'm a caster. I'm usually not very strong physically, and I am mowing through things as a cat. It's like, that's not right.
Yeah, there's actually, it's a boomy passive that, in cat form, your intellect translates to agility.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. I'm going to have to look. That explains why the kitty was kind of kick-ass.
But it doesn't work if you're kitty and you're wearing caster gear.
No, I was wearing caster gear, so.
So I had a druid for a while, and I was doing Boomy, and then they changed Boomy around for Kata, and I was hating life. I was in freaking Tanaris trying to Boomy my way through there, and it was just no freaking go.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, screw it, spent 120 Darkmoon tickets, got the two-handed staff, which was intended for pandas.
Mm-hmm.
Slapped that onto my hunter, onto my druid, became a kitty, and just ripped my way through the content. It was like night and day.
Yeah, I was on the other day, because I stopped mostly playing WoW for, I don't know, mostly since March. I hadn't really, I log on now and then, but I stopped raiding. I would do a dungeon now again. I'd mess around with alts, but I didn't sit down and like play.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that I don't know what I'm going to level first, when pandas hit, whether I'm going to take up, it's going to be one of my two tanks. I know because I'd like to tank. Well, I was bouncing around and Sarah's on and our old raid team starts going, so you're coming back, right? You're coming back, right?
Dot, dot, right.
So it's like, we have this, we have these positions. Pick one. You can have whatever you want. It's like, and one of them was tank, and one of them was a bunch of casters. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll come back.
I thankfully don't have that problem. The guild that I'm in on Ravencrest is just a sort of a social guild, and been level 25 forever, and it's just this thing. And there are some people in it that raid, but it's not like a super serious deal. And so I don't have to worry about that.
Well, I was just a melee in this raid team for a while. We lost our tank was a jackass and really messed us over. One of our tanks left, and they were like, well, let's go. And I'm like, I have a tank, and I really like tanking. Can I tank, please? I'm a little squishy, but I'll get better. So I tanked, and then suddenly, you know, hey, we've got two really reliable tanks that show up every raid.
Bear tanking is actually pretty darn easy now.
Well, this was as DK, because I love.
I haven't really played my DK. Since the changes.
I tried it first when it came out, and it was I really couldn't get all that into it, and then they made a couple changes, and eventually it took off. This one I didn't really intend to do anything with. I was mostly learning mechanics, and I don't love it. I love Druid. But DKs are really easy to gear up. I mean, you trip over gear and it's there. Whereas Druids to tank, getting from fresh 85 to where you can do serious tanking, there's a big gap in gear where it's not really itemized for tanking. So you kind of have this waffling around area where you have to
DPS. Well, there's not really a bear, you know, dodge. But you have to itemize that off rings and stuff.
Yeah, it was like, it's...
And necks and cloaks.
It's like the beginning of Cata. They didn't know what the hell to do with bear tanks because they got tired of itemizing some for tanking, some for rogues.
Yeah, because wasn't there strength leather?
Yeah. Well, that was like two expansions ago.
Yeah, that's like finding agility plate.
Yeah. Well, they took out strength leather in, like, Cata. But when they changed over and they changed itemization for Cata, so they took it out in Wrath, they really were kind of waffling around on what they wanted to do with Druid gear because they didn't want to... What was good for rogues is not really all that great for bear tanks, but they didn't want to do different leather pieces. So you ended up having a hard time finding gear for bears that will actually let you tank. So I would go into dungeons, healer would bitch, I would get kicked. I would, you know, so I got really fed up because people were asses.
They really changed bear tanking, so you really only have three rage spenders.
Yeah, I was looking at that the other night.
It's really kind of weird because it's like all of your abilities are just on short cooldowns. You can use them all day, every day, and you should to keep your threat up, but then you have a dodge, a big hit, or regenerate a pittance of your health.
So I'm going to have to look and see which, if, because I'm sure DK will be a viable tank. The Blizzard fucking loves DK, so there will probably be still a viable tank in...
I'm sure they're viable tanks now.
No, they are.
It was, I haven't tanked as a DK since they swapped Blood and Frost around.
It was mostly that there was that gap at the beginning of Druid where it's hard to gear up that I got frustrated with, so I just DK tanked. And I never went back to Druid, and I really should have. It was just, I would start playing it, and I would get angry, so I stopped. I mean, bear tanking is very viable in Cata, you just have to get past that hump.
Yep.
And I could never get past that hump. So.
Well, pandas are coming out soon, and they're stupid, sexy little red panda girls.
I like all the pandas. Well, not the girl pandas, and the boy cannon. But then again, Worgens, I'm kind of the opposite with. I usually play female characters, cannot fucking stand female Worgens.
Yeah, this is where we get to the furry side of thing. Would you fuck a female panda? Yes, no.
Yes.
Yes. There you go.
Would I fuck a female Worgen if she wore a bag on her head? and covered up you that know, stupid, derpy face.
I really hate the fact that they gave in to the haters and were like, oh, they look too furry, they look too furry. Well, now you have these hideous she-beasts that nobody's interested in playing. You don't ever see them in the wild. The male Worgen look fine.
Yeah, they look like fucking kick-ass werewolves.
But
except they don't have tails. They need tails. Their naked butts look weird.
Yes. but the female Worgen look like crazed chihuahuas.
Yeah, they do.
None of their ears look good.
Their eyes are real big. They got the snarly face. They look like pissed off chihuahuas. So, put a bag on their head and they're fine. I tried playing one and they're But
Me and Tesser, on our earlier adventures in Wrath, we were leveling up a pair of Worgens, and I got to, like, level 72 as this Worgen, and then I stopped for a while because I stopped playing WoW, and I came back, and I was like, man, I don't want to play this character at all.
Ugly.
And the funny thing is like, if I did want to make another Alliance character, I'd make, like, a Shadow Priest, because they are face-meltingly awesome right now. And on the realms I have slots, I don't have gear.
And so the Worgens, the druids we've been leveling up are Worgen, and of course they're boys. Because fuck female Worgen. Or rather, don't fuck female
Worgen.
Don't
fuck them with anybody's dick, least of all your own.
So male pandas, they're neat looking. I mean, they don't do a lot for me because... but I like the cute little female pandas.
Yeah, they're cute. And the little red panda tails. Mm-hmm. I already got the name and I already got the idea of what I want to look at.
I've been looking at, of course, I'll do a monk because, you know.
You got to do a monk.
I mean, come on.
But me and Tess are going to level up together. I'm going to have a DPS monk and maybe a tank monk. I don't know.
I'll probably do tank monk.
I'll probably do tank monk because he's been tanked in for this leveling process. Mm-hmm. And he's going to do shaman, panda shaman. So we'll probably swap roles where I'm the tank and he's the healer or slash DPSer.
So
because instant cues are great.
Yeah, I really like, you know, making either Siam or soon I'll be able to bug Sero. Tank for me.
Hey, just think, if all three of you were playing, you could all do a scenario.
Mm-hmm. Nuking Theramore.
We'll see. Yeah, moving on to that, Theramore. Yeah, I know that Garrosh went chaotic stupid.
Not chaotic evil, chaotic stupid.
But nuking a city, you know, no. What the hell? And it was kind of bad because the first time I played it, you know, your character is not told what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like the character gets in, you slip in the city, sabotage some boats, kill some dudes, take out their tanks, presumably to soften up the city to make it easier to siege.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. You go in, rescue the guy, and he's like, oh, hey, thanks for showing up. By the way, there's an airship coming in a few minutes that's going to drop a payload that'll flatten this entire island. You might want to leave now. Here's a portal. Bye. And you hop out, and there's a little cutscene where they nuke the city. And
yeah,
at the end of that, I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. My character would feel awful because that's totally against, you know, the way I have played the character and how I have the character in my head, you know.
Yeah.
Because everybody characterizes their own guys their own little way. And I was like, I don't like that. I don't really appreciate that. And like, And the little gimmick you get at the end is the little mini mana bomb.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, here, have this toy version of this nuke that slaughtered an entire island city.
Yeah. That was just kind of,
Yeah.
Okay.
I do kind of feel a little bit better, though, and this is going to be all, you know, oh, how could I be against the Horde? But I'm kind of glad that the scenario puts the Alliance, you know, second, that, you know, you are with Jaina and, you know, you're the team that shows up after
the nuke. I gotta play that scenario as my ally, see how it goes. Because now I'm curious.
It's functionally the same, isn't in that you go to the island, you sabotage the horde boats and the airship that dropped it, kill their forces on the island, take out one of their demolishers, just like you took out the tank that had broken through the gates or had come in through the gates, and then Janna, you protect Janna against the wave of guards while she's trying to secure the artifact in the middle, which apparently is this some ridiculous blue dragon artifact. And then you fight evil McOrkbad. and she leaves with the
artifact. And it still gets nuked?
The city gets nuked, yeah.
Oh.
Because the timeline of the events is the Horde comes in, gets their spy out, the nuke drops, then Janna shows up with the Alliance. So, like, it plays the cutscene first for the Alliance, and then the cutscene at the end for the Horde. Same cutscene.
Okay.
So, yeah. And there's, like, there's not going to be any major event. It's just going to be, this is supposedly, that on the midnight of the launch, it's just going to turn on. They, like, they put everything in place with the 5.0, and if you have the game installed, you'll have the quest to go and...
Go Panda.
You'll get a summons from Garrosh. Garrosh will be like, hey, get your ass to Pandaria, or else.
Go do your thing. Chaotic, stupid.
Yeah, that's you know, Saturday morning cartoon supervillain style. We will nuke their city. Nothing could possibly go wrong. Yeah.
So, what do you got planned this weekend?
Whole bunch of nothing, really. I'm, Tess and I have been, we're finally into Wrath, or Burning Crusade content. Ooh. We're out of Old World content, yay. One thing I will say, though, is that the Cross-Realm Zones...
I know.
Oh my god, it's so weird. Having to fight people for mobs in Fellwood? What the hell? It's nice, though.
We were in Western Plaguelands, one of the two, and there's people. It's like, and then we realized they're from other servers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, it's like the server's actually like really populated, and there's people to do stuff with, and...
Yeah.
It's nice. I like it a lot.
I think it's really cool because, I mean, yeah, it's a little frustrating because at certain points we end up competing for mobs, but...
People.
You know, you see other people when you're leveling. It's not you are the only person in this giant theme park of a zone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean...
People.
We're tooling around together and there's other people tooling around together. You can level cross zone. So, like, if you're cross-server and you're in a group together, you're getting up on the same server. So, I mean, the whole, oh, I'm on this, I'm on that, is no longer a real gap anymore.
It's a really good mechanic. I really like it.
Yeah.
What I can't wait for is them to actually implement Real ID completely the way they should have in the first place. They kind of brought it in with D3. But the system wasn't really in place with WoW, so I don't know if they...
The battle tag system's in.
Yeah, but for a while it was broken.
Yeah.
It would actually show, like, real names and such for if you went in through it for certain ways.
I don't know.
I know it was working really well for D3, but I want to do battle tags so that people can add me.
Yeah, because I have a battle tag set up for people to play with. And, you know, now that there is a much wider cross base of players that can appear on a single server, now can you do cross-server raids?
You can.
Nice.
Yeah, you and I and, like, Tess and everybody can do, like, I think up to, like, Firelands.
Yeah, you can't do Dragon Soul and you can't do the current tier of raiding cross-server, but you can do previous ones.
Yeah, so we could all do old-school stuff all together. In fact, Tyrion was trying to get us together to do something.
I'd love to do it. I'd like to go back and get my... I need to go do old Hyjal so I can get my tier 6 hat.
That's what I've been grinding on Shammy.
Because I got my tier 6 shoulders and my tier 6 chest and robe.
I have my tier 6 from when I was leveling and doing progression in that zone.
I am blue and purple with my little crown of fire because there's not a blue version of it.
I need my tier 6 for Shaman. I got the lookalike, but so close. But yeah.
I really like the gold set, mm-hmm. but it's all the offset stuff, and I don't want to have to grind for it.
We can all do old stuff together. We have done old stuff with a couple people. But back when they implemented real IDs, I didn't like the fact that I had to give out my login for people, because you give out your email address, which is your login. So you had to tell people half of the things that you need to authenticate your account.
Yeah.
Which means I don't want to post it anywhere for someone to just add me. So you had to kind of make sure that you pass it to them in a secure way. But I'm on things like WoW Ladies, which is a community on LiveJournal. I've been part of it for like 5 years, ever since I started playing. And I'd love to be able to pop up something like a battle tag, and it's been asked for since the beginning, where I can post something that where I'm not giving away half of my account details.
Yeah.
To that doesn't have my real life name attached to it. Because they wanted it to be like the Facebook of social interaction. And it's like, no. I don't want.
Look, this I don't to have be... a real Facebook. I made a fake Facebook for some, like, planning and stuff that I'm doing behind with some other people, but it's not my real name. It's a real-ish name. It's a real enough name.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't
has
want...
has a photo of me on it,
but I
which
don't...
might be a bad thing if, you know...
People know you. Swipe it.
But... Well, I mean, the people that I'm on this Facebook thing know who I am anyway.
Yeah, but it's... So people have actually been really after the battle tag, which is something a lot more anonymous.
Yeah, it's out there. I don't know if it's working yet, but...
Knock on wood, hopefully it does. So, but yeah, it's... what else? So there's Oktoberfest this weekend in Addison, so...
Yeah.
Go drink some beer. Pick up strudel. They have delicious strudel.
Yeah, I'm not sure. My Saturday suddenly became rather open, so I'm kind of like, what am I going to do?
I'm probably going to go drink beer, or a beer, and pick up strudel, and that's...
They have cider?
I don't think so.
Oh.
They might have, like, you mean, like, alcoholic cider or, like, apple cider? Like,
both.
I don't know. I usually just go and drink the
Yeah, special... the spotten and whatever. It's not my thing.
So. I don't like
beer. I like cider.
Yeah.
And I like liquor.
I like cider, too. And for beer, I actually like the kinds that they have, the wheat beer, rather than regular, so.
Yeah, you know, to each their own, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
I don't like beer. I like what I like.
And then Sunday, I might be going to FenCon. FenCon is held in the same... hotel is Furry Fiesta. It's another convention, duh. It's a sci-fi con, though, but it's really aimed towards the literary side of that particular genre, so it's a lot of writers. It's a lot of... If you read, you'll like this con. There's a lot of writers I know, and the guest of honor is someone I have admired for a very long time. I've read a ton of her books. It's CJ, I think it's pronounced Cherry, but it's got an H on the end, so it's basically CJ Cherry. I don't know if it's Cherry or Cherius, but yeah. One thing of interest is that she's known for, as far as furrydom is concerned, is there's the Chunar books. They're basically anthrocats. Then they've got a very pride-like mentality. So CJ, what she really likes to evolve, to explore is... non-human mindsets. She's really big into exploring how different species and such would think, their reasoning, their logic, their instinctive drives. So that's part of the Chunar series. It's part of her other series. The one that I'm really into is the Foreigner series, which is basically a long time ago, human... about 200 years back, human ship crash lands on a planet. Planet has humanoid people on it. They're about 7 feet tall, shiny black. And they're humanoid enough that they think that everybody's on the same page. Well, it comes down to, you know, no, they've got some very instinctive motivations that do not quite run along the same lines as humans, but it's close enough to get everybody in trouble. There's a war, and basically the humans get locked onto this. I got the feeling it's not a tiny island. It's a fairly smaller than Australia, but not itty bitty. It's fairly decent size.
I wouldn't say Australia's itty bitty either. So.
No, but it's a separate landmass, but it's not as big as Australia. It's a good sized landmass off the main continents. And the main storyline revolves around basically the interpreter, who's a human, who basically goes to the mainland to interact with this other race. And basically all kind of the society is a weird mix of, it's got almost an ancient Japanese feel to it. It's very case system. It's very formal. And it's basically him trying to navigate the waters of a people that looks very much like him, but he has to not let himself slip and think and treat them like humans because they're not. And so he's the interpreter. He's the only human allowed on this landmass. And he's basically an advisor because humans are very far advanced. The main natives are probably mid-feudal. And one of the things that has been doing is basically bleeding human technology into this system. Well, that's part of the interpreter's jobs, is trying to feed in technology without destabilizing their civilization. Because they're very feudal and they do fight. Neat. So making sure that things don't unbalance and suddenly warfare.
Yeah, it's like, give them printing presses, don't give them AK-47s.
Well, the neat thing about one of the interesting things about the alien race is they are actually herd mentality, but not, there are very much alpha personalities, and then there are followers, leaders and followers. But it doesn't manifest itself quite how you think. It's just you have some people who are very forward, and then everybody follows them, but it's not blindly. It's instinctive, though.
Mm-hmm.
The best way I can describe it is there's a son of one of the lords, and there's a fight going on. And how they can tell that basically the son is emerging into another one of these dominant personalities is that an explosion goes off. The interpreter dives for cover. His bodyguards flow after him. And the young lord goes a different direction, and his followers go after him. So this was groundbreaking because he didn't go with the flow of... It's like a bird flocking. Everybody just follows the leader instinctively. The leader moves, everybody follows him. And it's like I think like birds changing in flight and fish swimming. Everybody just goes at once, and they do it without thinking. It's like we flinch and everybody else. Everybody just flows and runs for cover the same way, following the leader. Well, the young lord went his own way. The people who are basically in his line of loyalty followed him. And so they did this character to kind of start exploring about what goes on when a child starts maturing, to show where they kind of start getting adult instincts and when these instincts kick in. So, and it was kind of a big groundbreaking for this book because it was the first time he had basically formed his own flock or his own herd. He had splintered off from the group, and then he has to be careful because he's only about 9 years old, so he's starting to hit puberty. And so now he's in danger because he has to actively think about, I can't just go off on my own. I have to actually pay attention and stay with people who can protect me.
Mm-hmm.
He has to think about staying under protection, whereas other people just flow with the rest.
That sounds pretty cool. It's some interesting stuff. You should check that out. CJ Cherry with a
H on the end.
Yep.
That's the Foreigner series. The Chunner series, the first four books are all felines in a spaceship. And explores things like pride mentality within their society. The fifth book is Pride of Chunner, and that's when the ship, the main ship that you've been following through this entire time, you kind of follow a family, encounters a strange hairless creature. In other words, a human. And then from them, kind of their perspective, and it's been a long time since I read it, kind of interacting with this alien that they don't understand. So, yeah.
And CJ Cherry is Carolyn Janice Cherry. She was written more than 60 books since the 70s. Will be a guest of honor at FinCon 9. It's even noted on her Wikipedia page. She appended a silent H to her real name because her first editor felt that Cherry sounded too much like a romance writer. Her initials, CJ, were used to disguise the fact that she was female at the time and most all science fiction authors were male.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's why
A groundbreaking woman.
Yeah, if I ever went to get something published, I would end up doing the same. You know, use my initials or some form of my name to hide that I'm a gal. Just because actually still the sci-fi. If you want to write fantasy, okay. There, you're kind of...
Anne McCaffrey ran that road for you.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole bunch of female fantasy writers. But if you're writing any kind of hardcore sci-fi, for anything, especially military or anything like that, it's still a guy's game. Uh-huh. And it's better just to...
Obfuscate.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, we are actually, we were like, we got 60 emails. We're going to banter this week. We're at like 45 minutes, 46 minutes.
Is it time to read an email?
It's time to read an email. So I'm going to let you start off.
Oh, you want me to trip over?
Yep. Pick a short one.
Fine. I'll do this one. So I also had to do thank you. Hello, fuzzies. Hello, Sandy Couch and Extremely Busy Wolf, if present this week. No, sorry. Just got to say thank you for all your past advice you've given me in the past, and I could use some more this week. Recently, I've been feeling down and lonely. Normally, when this happens, I just throw myself harder at my work, job search, and other interests. But this time around, this feels have been a bit more overwhelming, and I'm not sure how to deal with it. Any advice on this would help. I'm just feeling on my wit's end. As for something on a lighter topic, last couple weeks you've been talking about our fetishes. Well, mine is a bit of a crazy one, vampires. Just love their look and love the idea of how they seem powerful yet so delicate looking. It also helps that I love being bitten as well as being into femdom as well. I hope you are all well and things are going your way during this crazy month. Cannot wait for the next episode. Sincerely, Luke Silvertail. You also have to do a thank for Luke. He commissioned me and helped me get to MFM, so I still have to mail his badge.
Cool.
But just a thank you. It really helped out me getting to MFM. So, thank you.
All right. So when it comes to like that, I would definitely, talk to your friends, talk to your spouse, partner.
I don't think he has one. I think he's got family. He said he had a friend, but.
Yeah, I was like, I would definitely, when it's that kind of thing, get around some people, talk to them, get it out in the open, because if you're just kind of bottling it up. It would probably do you some good to just kind of talk it out to somebody and have some social times.
And to be honest, I've also found that when you're feeling down, stressed, something really that's really working you over, get away from the computer.
Yep.
Because I don't know what it is about staring at a screen, whether I'm writing, reading, my head just goes and goes down really bad paths and I get really angry and depressed. And this is bad when I'm at work and I can't get away. But my brain will just keep chewing at something negative until I get up, get away from the computer, go talk to a human being, get out in public, just get up, get out of the house for a little bit, find some physical friends, go to a movie, something to get away from electronic devices and the internet. it won't help you. You know, you can talk to a friend over Skype, over whatnot, but it doesn't do the same, and it almost sometimes seems to make it worse. Try to get some physical interaction. That's the best thing, at least for me.
Yep. Faux show. Got to be around other people.
Yeah, humans are social creatures, and we need social.
Yep.
So.
All right, so we're going to do a bit of a wall of text, then we'll go to break.
Which one are you walling?
The dilemma of 4 years in the making.
Okay, let's wall this bitch.
Yep. All right. Hey, Notcasters, I've been listening to the show on and off for about 2 years now, but this is my first time writing in. This is kind of a big issue for me, and has a long story behind it, so I'll try to keep it concise. But I apologize if it turns into a lengthy email. It's well written, and it's paragraphs, and punctuation, capitalization. You did all right. My issue resides in my relationship with my mate of 4 years, but first I feel I have to provide some history before getting to the actual problem. We met online about 5 years ago when I was 14 and he was 15. I'm 19 now and he is almost 20. Drawn together by our common interest in the furry fandom, we became good friends and we chatted over IM and Xbox Live, sharing our thoughts about different subjects and sharing our experiences. At the time, I still considered myself straight and was in the final stages of a confusing relationship with a girl that I had liked for a couple of years. But as time went on and I became closer with my new friend, I realized I actually had an emotional attachment to him and began to question my sexuality. I knew he was gay at the time, and I had a feeling he was interested in me. Eventually, my relationship with my girlfriend fell apart, and I looked to him for comfort, and he laid out his true feelings for me. Hearing this made me realize my own feelings for him and brought me to the realization that I am bisexual. The trouble is, I lived in Michigan and he in North Carolina. We knew, of course, it'd be difficult to maintain a relationship for so long over so far a distance without getting to see each other. I knew we wouldn't get a chance to see each other until after high school and we hadn't the resources to visit. And my father is both a control freak and a homophobe. We decided that we would carry on anyway and would stay determined to eventually meet and live together, though about 3.5 years we slogged on, always talking to keep our relationship alive. We had a very bumpy road leading to that point, though, as I didn't know until near the end of that period.
I'm rubbing off on you.
You are, Shiva. God. Such a cat hair. It gives you L-shaped tongues. I had bipolar disorder and would often lash out at him for no apparent reason, then feel absolutely miserable afterwards. He stayed understanding, though we both had suspicions that I had some kind of mental disorder, however, and he forgave me and loved me all the same. Though we did have the occasional video chats, our contact was mostly through texts and voice calls, so the foundation of our relationship was built off personality rather than appearance. I knew at the time I didn't find him very attractive, but I told myself that didn't matter. It was personality that counted. That was my whole life got turned upside down. That was when my whole life got turned upside down. In October of 2011, by way of some emails I had forgotten to delete on my phone, my father, who was divorced from my mom and I lived with, discovered my relationship. I could go into a lot of detail, but suffice to say I was disowned and moved in with my mom, who, along with my stepdad, knew I was bisexual and was fine with it. During the actual confrontation with my father, I had been very suicidal, pleading with my mate that we make a suicide pact that we would end our lives together at the same time. He pulled me through and saved my life. Yeah. Up until June of this year, we continued as we had before, until at last he had saved enough to be able to come up here and hopefully find a job so he could stay. We knew it would be a long shot since he only had enough money to stay for 2 months, and then he would have to return. I had weaved all sorts of images in my mind of what it would be like to finally see him. I knew it would probably be a bit awkward, seeing as our relationship had been exclusively online for nearly 4 years, but I wasn't prepared for awkward. Okay, there's a missing word there. When he was actually here, I didn't feel the warmth and that spark that I had imagined I would feel on our first time seeing each other. We continued on, seeing each other almost every day, but I still lacked that warmth, even when cuddling with him. With my frustration at myself growing and provoking my bipolar disorder, even with medication, I found myself getting annoyed and lashing out at him again, which in turn only made me feel worse about the relationship. I felt more and more like the threads of our relationship were unraveling and that my connection to him was being severed. I tried to explain my feelings, but he dismissed them, saying everything was fine. We also figured out that he has retained ADHD from his childhood, which means he says and does things sometimes without thinking, without the consequences of them, or how they affect others. I'm sure you can see where this doesn't work too well with someone who's bipolar. And this only made things worse. Eventually, time ran out and he had to return home to North Carolina, and now we have the prospect of waiting 2 or more years before he'll be able to return. With both of us working and me going to college, it's getting harder for us to be in contact with each other, and I still feel as though something is missing. One thing that troubles me, though, is that he feels as though our relationship is as strong as ever, where I feel that there's a serious problem. It's hard to describe, really. I still love him, but I don't feel that love while talking to him anymore, and I feel no physical attraction to him. I keep trying to talk with him, but he keeps dismissing it, saying that everything is just fine. I also feel like I'm reaching the end of my patience. I'm not sure if I can wait 2 or more years for him to come back. To further complicate the issue, he says that I'm the only reason worth living for him, and if he lost me, he'd commit suicide. I know this isn't trying to trap me with him. He does not really care.
He does really care
and love me as I do him. I just don't really understand why I'm feeling this way, and I don't know what to do to fix it. So insider advice would be greatly appreciated. I'm sorry about the giant wall of text. Nova, the friendly black fox from Michigan.
Well, I hate to say it. I think things are fading. And it happens in time. And sometimes you meet someone online and there just isn't the physical click that goes with the mental one. I mean,
I've had it happen.
Same. You really, really like this person online, and you meet them, and there just isn't the chemistry. It happens. It's unfortunate, and I wish I could say that looks don't matter, and it's always personality.
That's not true.
There is, at least, unfortunately, that gut jump that you do need to be attracted. It doesn't mean that they have to be a beautiful person. It just means that there has to be some kind of vim there.
Yeah.
Because Lord knows, I
gotta make some blood flow.
Most of the people I've been with are not traditionally. I mean, I find them incredibly attractive, but I wouldn't call them necessarily statuesque by the classic. They're not the jocks. They're not the super model types. Mm-hmm. But they do it for me. But that's just it. They do it for me, big time.
So. And, you know, and I wouldn't say that Panther is some golden Adonis, but I think I find him very attractive. And, you know, I call him my handsome Panther, and he's like, I'm not.
Yeah, that's me with both Siam and Sarah. Sarah throws things at me sometimes verbally. It says, no, I'm not.
But, you know,
Siam's learned to ignore me, so.
But, you know, it does, physical is an important thing, and I feel really bad that, you know, this far in, you've got, you know, you've spent all this emotional capital, and there's not a spark, and there's no way of, like, rekindling something that's not there.
And this is one reason why we counsel, don't put a lot of stock in things until you meet, because you can get 4 years down the line and discover that there's no spark. And I don't want to do told you so with this, but at least for other listeners, please try not to get too invested until you've met the person. If it's going to be whatever, see if you can't make, you know, enough money to meet at a con, hop a bus, go visit for a week, something. Before you get too far in, because then you have something like this happen. And I'm really sorry that it's gotten this much invested in until...
Yeah, the bottom line is, and this is going to sound pretty bad, Nova, but there's not 2 years to wait. You know, unfortunately, you know, with this long of a time gap, and no physical attraction on your part. I mean, you love him, I'm sure you do. But the physical attraction is an important part of it. You can still be friends, but I don't think that there is a relationship there.
As far as the suicide thing, well, you can't stay with someone because you're afraid that they'll kill themselves. And I've learned that firsthand just this past spring. People are stronger than you think, and they won't always do what you think they'll do. And in the end, you do have to do what's going to make you happy. If you can't stay with someone because they'll kill themselves if you leave, because especially if you don't feel the spark, I mean, what are you going to do several years down the line? Are you going to basically stay in a relationship where you don't have the attraction, you don't have that spark? You like them, you maybe love them as a friend, but if you don't love them and you're not attracted to them, that's not fair to you, and that's not fair to him. He needs to have someone who will actually love him, like romantic love, not friendship love, and who feels attracted to him and thinks he's their moon and stars. And you deserve the same. You shouldn't just... You don't settle. Life's too long and you only get one. So make it count.
So, bottom line?
It's probably going to be coming to an end, I got a feel.
Yeah. There's... I'm sorry. The way you put it out there, you don't want to wait 2 years to find out that there's still no spark.
And I think if you go back and you read your email again, it's basically, you've already said what needs to be said. I think it's just the whole case of needing to hear it from somebody else.
Yep. So. And hey, we're good at that, I guess.
We're going to find something a little bit more happy for break, right?
Yeah, well...
And then find something to put in your butt.
Yes, we'll find something to put in your butt. So it is now an hour. We're going to pause, save, back with an Adam and Eve item.
For your butt.
So hopefully the people are still listening to this point where we talked for an hour.
But
then had two short had a short butt. Email and then a soul crushing email.
All the butt.
And butts. We'll be right back.
But
video games. That's all video games to be played.
And we're back. And that was our sponsor, video games. So, this week's item from AdamEve.com is the Inked Glass Probe, a starter glass toy for those that would like to try out a little bit of butt play and are a little daunted, as well they should be, by some of the massive dongs available on the market. This is a 6-inch glass probe that features a curved tip for prostate stimulation and a flared base for safe anal fun. Heat or chill the toy for extra thrills. Glass is easy to clean and hypoallergenic. It is 1.25 inches and clear Pyrex, pretty much, with a little heart tattoo design on it for some reason. I guess, you know, to differentiate it, I think, you know, as long as it's on the inside, it's not going to rub off. But this is a nice one, number 5-star review, 5 reviews, and $32.95. But if you use our coupon code NOT,
KNOT, yes,
you can add it to the cart, and you get your standard stuff. I think they might have changes, though, and this is something that they haven't brought up with us, but it's something that I noted on the site. So, if you use our coupon code, you get the 50% off and the free shipping. But I don't think that it's actually putting out items for, like, the Breeze XXX feature and the mystery gift anymore. I think they might have had a change of policy that where you don't get all the extra goodies.
Unless it was, what, over 17?
Unless it was over, like, $17. So...
We'll
have to look into that one. But still, all part of the sales goes to us, helps us get to cons and stuff.
Still, half off and free shipping isn't bad.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to always get the same DVD, because they changed it to, like, Breeze XXX triple feature, so it's straight porn. But the Mr. Gift. I haven't ordered anything from them in a while, so I would not know what it entails anymore. But still, 50% off an item. You need something to put in any orifice and or a video to fap to. AdamandEve.com is your bag, baby.
I've been tempted by some of the glass dildos, but most of the stuff I see on there, our coupon code, I've got expensive taste, and I keep saying this, but I like Lilo and some of the more higher-end female buzz-buzzes rather than... And, like, the share I got, like, a month ago now. The share was, like, 80? And that's without a harness?
Yeah, I mean, our coupon code only takes off, like, $20 or something like that.
Yeah, so... But, yeah, there's lots of good toys on there, and they'll at least save you some money and plus free shipping, so... So, yes. All the toys.
Yay!
Yeah, I think that's a good Fluttershy yay. I like my toys. I like toys a lot.
Yep. All right, so we're going to go back to the emails, and, well, we'll pick this up here.
Okay, so my turn. Let me archive the dilemma. Hello, Furries of Notcast. The title is Finding Someone. I don't listen to the show much. I only listened to one episode and half of another episode where my friend's emails was read and answered. He keeps on recommending that I ask you guys for help, and I figured my friend's given a lot of advice, so why not some from a impartial party slash outside source? I'm 19, going on 20 in November, and I've never had a girlfriend. I've also lost a lot of confidence in ever getting one due to a few major reasons. All through my life, there have only been five kinds of girls, really. Ones that really hate me, like most people in school. I tend to annoy people due to my ADHD, slight OCD, NDL? I don't know what NDL is.
NLD, yeah. I don't...
NLD? Hey, I'm dyslexic, so...
and Asperger's.
Forgive me if that's misspelled. Can never spell it right. Others that don't meet the other types are others that don't know me, ones who are indifferent to me, ones that are pretty much family since their families knew each other before I was born and we grew up together, and then, and though there's only two of these, girls that like me, but I could never have a chance with them because they are lesbian. No, I've got no issues with gays or bis or anything, I'm just stating a fact. Well, it's fair enough, if you're a guy and they're lesbian, you're not going to have a lot of chances, so... To be fair, I wouldn't hold that against you. So, because of those reasons, I honestly feel like I could never find someone to truly love me. A lot of my friends get annoyed that I'm constantly depressed about this, so I try not to bring it up too often. One of my friends has recommended, and by which I mean get angry at the fact that I refuse to do this, joining a dating site. I refuse to do so, though, because I honestly do not believe in them. I've got no trouble with online relationships. I realize that they can be real. And to me, even just meeting someone online by chance and getting to know them and love them, then wanting to meet in real life is more sincere than, oh, look, at our computer pulled up five people that could love you. Have fun. It just doesn't seem real to me. I feel like love isn't really true love if some computer program just put two of you together, as well as a few other potential people like them. I feel like I should actually meet someone in real life, get to know them, and love them. Enter problem number three, where I currently live. I still live with my parents, but that's not the issue. The issue is I live in the middle of nowhere in my state. Even if I wanted to go to a bar or something, not to drink, just socialize, as my parents say, happens there often, apparently, there really is nowhere nearby I could go. No usual hangout spots for kids my age or anything. So basically, I'm stuck in nowhere with nowhere to really go and just sit around hoping to meet people. Anyway, sorry the email dragged on for so long. I wanted to just make sure I got all the details. Hope you are doing well. Sincerely, Midnight Yakum.
Yamakidate.
I'm going to slaughter that, so I'll just go with what Saverin said. Master of Darkness Nature. P.S. Not sure if any of you are macros or dragons, but damn, this is hard to type on a tiny computer with these claws. Nope, not macro, not a dragon. So, finding someone where there, it sounds like probably pretty low population if you're anywhere like I grew up with in New Hampshire, which was pretty much bumfuck nowhere. Yeah. First of all, this is me. I wouldn't look too far down on some of the dating sites. And I know you don't want to hear this, but bear with me. There's different ones. There's ones that will whole suggestion for you, and you know they think that you might do this, and there's others that you just sign up and then you browse profiles, and when you do that, it's kind of like going on like FA. You go on, you look for people who mention things that you enjoy, like you can cut it down by people who are interested in games and sci-fi or whatever your nerd interest is. And there's, I think, even a couple of sites that are kind of built more towards the nerdy side of things. And it's kind of, you just sign up and you look at profiles and you look for people who say the magic words that make your ears perk up. Like, I like to game. I like to watch movies. I like to do this. I have an interest in that. And don't even really look at it looking for one true love. Just go on there looking for interesting people.
Yeah.
I don't know how far away you are from any major population center. I know you said that there's not a lot around you. You'd have to tell us, how much mobility do you have? Do you have a car? What's the nearest place around you? Are there furry meetup groups? Is there a furry board for your state? You might want to look at outside fandoms for your region. Do you like sci-fi? Do you like fantasy? Are you into things like LARPing or SCA?
Super into dragons.
Yeah, so you might like fantasy or SCA or any other club-like activities. You want to basically try and find something you can do out. And there's no hangout spots in your area. I don't know. You're probably in a rural area. You might want to look at some of the more nature-based things to do. I don't know if you like the outdoors. I like it. So camping, walking, state parks, fishing. And I do like fishing. Some people do actually like fishing. Boating. You'd have to tell us where you are to give the idea of, to know what the terrain is around there.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like just getting in the car and driving and tootling around back roads and seeing things. Maybe it's strange, but it's something me and Siam have always done. Just hop in the car and go and see what you can find around. We like to go spotting wildlife when we're anywhere near the country or whatever. And it might take meeting someone online who is in a different city and doing a couple of big commutes out there. And I don't know what your situation is. You might have to look about moving. I know that when I grew up in rural bumfuck New Hampshire, I had the kids I went to high school with, the ones that stuck around town. I had a couple of, the years above me. I didn't really look behind me because I was already the youngest one. I graduated when I was 16. So if I was looking at anybody below me, they'd be like 15 and 14, and that just wasn't going to fly when I graduated high school. So there's the kids I went to high school with. There was only 56 in my graduating class for like 7 towns. Or a couple above me. Not a lot of kids stuck around that town because there wasn't anything to do. And even if you traveled to a couple of the towns around, there wasn't a lot of nightlife. So I know exactly what you're going through. The only thing that there was really to do was to get drunk and fuck, which wasn't really my speed. I ended up having to drive to, I went to college. And then once I left that college, I only went for a year. I'd still commute down in order to get some semblance of socializing that I could stand. And they were like an hour away. So this hour down, spend the weekend usually sleeping on somebody's floor, and then drive back Monday morning or some combination of thereof just to have some kind of socialization that I could stand that wasn't getting drunk and fucking rednecks. So, trust me, I grew up in the middle of nowhere bullshit, nothing to do towns. And I ended up leaving because there wasn't anything there for me. Mm-hmm. I had my family, but unless I wanted to work at McDonald's or the grocery most of my life, I had to get out, so I did. And that's pretty much all that's still around that area is piddly-ass service jobs where you're barely making minimum wage. So, look at your options. I don't know, are you going to be going to college? You could look at that too. But don't look down on the internet. Don't look down on dating sites. Hop on forums of any type. Just strike up conversations. Meet people that you may give you a leg up to meeting people in other places and save up to go places and do things. And that's probably going to be your best way to get out into the world and meet your special someone. Make friends with girls, and you might get a girlfriend out of a friend that is a girl.
Yeah, I mean, worst case, you socialize and you have some fun.
Well, that's how I met both of my current mates. We were friends first. Me and Siam were basically kind of a, think of him as like a DMs on a muck together, and we ran a couple of like scenarios and such together. I've known Sarah real life for years, but we were friends for a long time before we turned into anything else. So, yeah, you gotta be friends first, and then from friends, one of them may distill out into something a little bit more. So, yeah. And that's my long rambling about living in bumfuck nowhere.
Yep. I mean, it's fair. I mean, what you said makes a lot of sense. And like I said, go make some friends, and that can evolve. Just be an outgoing guy, and don't be so down on the internet. It's how a lot of people meet nowadays. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not...
I mean, that's how me and Siam met. I mean, and we've been together 15 years.
That's how me and Panther met.
Yeah, so don't look down on it.
Don't completely discount it.
And don't look down on dating sites, because don't think about it as something a computer will do for you. Think of it as just another medium to go out and look at people and say, oh, this person sounds like I'll send them.
You're not going to find, you know, I don't think you'll find true love on DeviantArt.
You might. I've known a couple of people who met through it. But yeah, so. Yeah.
So. Get out there, meet some people, go to college. Because if you go to college, man, you'll meet lots of people from all over the planet and all over the state.
So, yeah, I think we've beaten that to the ground, and I mostly just ran my mouth, but yeah.
It's okay. You're full of words. It's all right.
Like a pinata, just whack me, and they come out.
Yep. So, got an email. Naughty Toys, not code is the subject. Hi there. I was wondering why the promo code from Adam Eve's site doesn't work for the gay site, adammail.com. I don't want straight porn. It just doesn't do it for me. Anyways, Lurf Podcast, been listening for about 2 weeks straight, trying to catch up on your recent episodes. You gave some really good insight to problems and issues in the fandom, and I hope it continues for a long time to come. Thanks, Northwest Wyoming Fulf Nethrin, a.k.a. Nate. Yes, there are furries in Wyoming, and the attachment kind of goes along with the lines of the episode I recently listened to, 143, How Not to Be a Douchebag, a super funny bumper sticker I saw and took a pic of. The picture says, don't like gay marriage? Then don't have one!
I give you the other one. I give you a rib back if I had it. I like that. But yeah. I like that bumper sticker.
Yeah, we'll have to. I'll get in contact with our rep there. And because I think their last email kind of gotten lost in the ether somewhere, because I haven't gotten
anything
or anything for a while, actually. I'll have to double check when we got our last check from them, because the last one wasn't very big, but it was right before MFM.
It was well timed.
It was well timed, so I don't know. I'll have to figure out what's going on with that. Because, yeah, we would like to go on Adam Mail, because lots of dudes listen to this, and lots of them want stuff to put in their butt. So we will look into it. And by we, I mean I will.
Okay. Let's see.
Two left.
Yep. We are the email you will read us. Resistance is futile. Dear Notcast, I am currently in the middle of the mostest amazing lecture on how to write gooder. Meanwhile, at home, things aren't so great. About 6 months ago, I told my parent I was transgender, and so the arduous marathon of pain begins, sort of like Shiva reading Shakespeare. But I digress. Right now, I'm stuck in the void of not really being treated as a person and more like a medical experiment. Each time I try to get into a relationship, I make it my goal, first and foremost, to inform the other party of my current gender dysmorphia. This leads to conclusions that being as I am, quote, neither fully male nor female, I don't match the parameters for bisexual individual. Yes, someone actually said this to me. Hooray for the
IRL.
Shut up.
From the IRL. The Earl of Vulcans. Wait, what?
IRL Vulcans of the dating world. Being as this is the standard response to my attempts at love, I need to just I need to know who. Who should I look for? I don't know what to look for in a person that might find love in a male-to-female trans person. And for those who I have met who are into transsexual persons, because it's different. Hold on. And of those who I have met are into transsexual persons because it's different. I hope for sound advice from the gurus of gab. By the way, thank you for all your support and advice over my bad breakup. You're frozen for AK Sandfire. So. I'm one of those people who are into trans, and it gets me in trouble because I'm not supposed to like trans, because trans is a medical condition and not. But I think you're in a tough place. You're not, you haven't finished changing to your new form. So whomever you get with has to be someone who's comfortable with both sexes, which means probably a bisexual, and probably someone who is at least into trans a little bit, because you're going to need someone who is either attracted to or likes the flowing of the mix of genders going from one to the other. Otherwise, it's probably a good idea to stay away from relationships until you have fully transitioned into your new sex. Just because if you... I know plenty of trans people who look down on people like me who like the gender blending. And it's really disheartening for me because I get called a freak and they're sick and blah, blah, blah. Because they're uncomfortable because it doesn't acknowledge them completely as their new sex. They don't pass. So they don't like being reminded that they don't pass. And they don't, even when they're going from one through the process to another. And I feel bad because, yeah, it's not exactly reaffirming to you that, yes, you actually are this person. But it's also hurtful to people like me who, that's the way they're wired. They can't help that they like something that's not, yeah, they like male, they like female, but they like the variants between. And I feel bad because of my attraction, but it doesn't make it go away. It doesn't make the fact that I find it really something that grinds my gears. So, at this point, you're trying to stuck with someone like me who likes not only the end result and the starting result, but everything in between. Or you gotta wait till you're finished. And then once you're at that finished stage, you can find someone that actually likes the fully finished product and, you know, there's no sign of your prior life. And they won't ever look at you as ever having any or remembering you as your prior self. So I wouldn't necessarily, I don't know if it's because people are different. It might just be because it's somebody like me who I'm bi. I like male. I like female. And I like when the traits start blending. It's just not because it's different. It's because it's everything that makes up me all just recombined in a different way. So that's just it.
Yeah. On my point, from my end over here, I've said before that I don't quite understand the mental aspects of transgenderism, of being transgender. I don't understand it. But I don't, that doesn't prejudice me against it. And I think people hang themselves on their labels sometimes.
Yeah, there's that too.
That, you know, you are X, Y, and Z, but you are also a person. And your personality and who you are in the physical world, even if that is changing, should be what attracts people to you and what you to other people. And if people are into trans individuals, then that should be a plus, I think. I mean, I have met a number of, you know, this is, I live in a world of every freaking shade. You know, gay, straight, bi, trans. You know, take your pick. And I have trans friends. I have gay friends, bi friends. I have straight friends. There's straight furries out there. Oh my God, don't tell anybody.
I made it to one of them.
Yeah, and I think that people get so hooked up on their labels and wanting you to wanting to fit within that little box that they forget the fact that they're just people too.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're just this person, and that your personality and their physical presence
and your brain
is somehow not enough to be good enough for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothers me in a large sense. When I was in Washington, there was this brilliant, really, really cute trans, male to female trans person who I like really liked. All of us are just like, bam. She's cute, funny, little bit emo, kind of hit the nerdy librarian vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I knew they were trans. I didn't care. I thought they were a cool person. And they had a lot of issues. And I was their friend when I was up there. And I kind of lost track because that person kind of dropped out of the LGBT group at the college that was nearby where I was staying. And it was because they got so hung up on the label that they didn't like want to open themselves up to people in a supposedly welcoming environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it really bothered me because I didn't care that she was trans. I cared that she was a neat person. And, you know, there's people that I interact with today that, you know, some people know that they're trans, but a lot of people don't. And I don't care if they're trans. I think they're a wonderful, nice individual, and I don't care what gender they are or present as. And I just think that as a person, they're cool, and I like them. And I think, and this might be really simplistic or childish, but we're all people in the end, and I don't think that slapping labels and trying to differentiate ourselves so far out of the way is helpful in the long run.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Plus, and I've run into this in the trans community a couple times, is that, and I've even kind of run into it and in the gay community to an extent, is there's an idea of what you should be. It's happened to women for a long time, the whole what fashion things sell to you as you have to be this body shape and that. And I've run into it in the gay community too, especially with like Twinkie boys that are supposed to be like skinny as rails and metrosexual. Or the big hairy buff bears, you know. And there's like gotten this image of what I'm supposed to be. And then I see people, especially male to female trans, where basically they've been sold image of what it means to be a woman, what it means to be female. And they're being sold the cover of Cosmo. You know, you're supposed to be makeup and short skirts, and this is what it means to be a woman, you know? And it really distressed me that when I had a couple of friends starting to go onto this of, I get to do X now. It's like, but I'm cisgendered, as in I'm presenting as a gender I was born as. And I don't wear makeup. You know, it's like they get sold an idea of what it means to be X gender, and that's not necessarily a real thing. It's a flavor of it, but it's more like they're being sold what's the packaged version of it, and it really makes me worry and wonder sometimes because then they get stuck into the whole. The same thing that happens to cisgendered women. They don't live up to this ideal that, and you spend the rest of your life unhappy because you're not real thin or whatever the fashion mags are trying to sell you. So, But that's my own worry when I start going, seeing people go through the trans cycle, is I see them start to do that, and then they get frustrated because that's not, they don't look like Cindy Crawford. I don't look like Cindy Crawford, but, and they get very depressed. So, but that's kind of wandering away from the subject. It's just, I think I've said what I thought, so.
Yeah. So hopefully we haven't completely confused you. Hopefully we have given a little bit of input on what you wanted. You know, you see all the worst examples on these places, you know, like Tumblr and the like. You know, it makes it really hard, and it confuses that, you know, it makes transgender individuals into this caricature by their own, by their own, so their own champions, as it were. And mm-hmm. But the core being, you're still a person, you're still worthy of love, and you just need to be yourself and be secure in who you are, however you define it.
So, I guess, I mean, I keep going back and forth and saying, you know, I've been around the trans community. I have a fair bit of gender dysmorphia myself. It's one reason why I've gone through...
You're a chicat.
I'm a chicat. I mean, it's, I don't have enough to actually go through a transition. I wouldn't be happy as a guy. I'm not particularly happy as a girl. I'd be happy as something both or in between. But if I woke up tomorrow morning and I was a boy, that would be wonderful. But if I wake up tomorrow morning as a girl, that's fine too. It's mostly, I would love, that's the way I'm wired. So, but there was a while where I flirted with the idea, and I spent a lot of time in the trans community and on the edges trying to figure out what's wrong with me. And, you know, hey, is there something actually wrong with me? It's like, and I finally, yeah, I do have some gender dysmorphia. Yeah, I don't exactly feel like I'm complete, but I also don't think I'd be complete the other way. So it's like a mild case. Hence me being kind of a little bit more knowledgeable than probably the average Joe, but yeah. So
on that note, we have one more email. Shiva, yay. You should read it.
I should?
Maybe.
Okay. No, I read that one because it was the one about Shiva reading Shakespeare.
Ah, right. So, last email. Insert witty subject title here. Hey, all. It's me again. I thought I'd give my piece on this week's topic. There are these times when I need an escape. I drive the half hour to the local airport and just watch the planes. They even have a picnic area just for that, and nothing soothes me like the sound of a jet engine at full power. Working on my parents' cars works too, but they don't require work often. If I don't have the gas or anything at work, nothing is broken in any of our vehicles, I fall back on music with noise-canceling headphones. How about you guys? How do you escape or unwind? Also, to follow up on my last email, I'm not in high school. I'm currently attending a technical school in the local area so I can qualify to test for my aircraft mechanics license. Thanks for the advice, and thanks for putting on a spectacular podcast, and hope to see you guys at Oklacon. The Red Wolf from Tulsa, Ryan Ricotta.
Ah. So, how do you unwind?
Music and vidya. I have an idea in mind, and I will build it in Minecraft. Or I'll go on a drive, and just drive.
Driving is good.
Like, I'm gonna take Loop 820, I'm gonna take 635 all the way around.
I've done that to Beltline. Beltline goes forever.
I've kind of wanted to do that, but it kind of goes through some sketchy areas.
Well, when I broke up with my husband last year, we would escape the house to try and get away from him. We drove like 635 loop. We did the full loop out to Fort Worth. We did part of Beltline.
Wow.
Let's see. It depends on if I'm depressed or not. If I'm really down, then my urge is to hide from the world. And usually I want to go home, and I usually just play a video game. I usually don't leave my house, and I just crawl inside a video game and shut out the world. I used to do it with books, but like the last decade or so, my brain keeps going when I'm reading, so I rarely, unless it's a book I really adore, I can't do that as a distraction anymore.
wow, Petaling goes really far away.
Yeah, yeah, it does. I love to cook. I'm kind of infamous for cooking.
You'll be like, screw you, I'm making cookies.
Oh God, I made the most divine thing. I'll tell you about it in a moment. I make cookies. I like to bake. I like to cook. I like to make stuff. I need to start on a blanket. I haven't done a blanket in a year. It's starting to cool off where I can actually make one again. Sometimes I write. Sometimes I draw. Drawing used to be my escape, but sometimes it's more frustration than escape. But where I can just really lose myself and just forget what I'm doing. If I've got a drawing that I'm digitally inking, those I can get incredibly into, to the point where I forget to eat and sleep and sometimes forget to swallow for a while because I just disconnect that much. It's been a while since I've gotten that bad. But yeah, usually coloring for... Not so much the line art liners, but if I sit down and color, I'll just switch off and go. That's my main ones. Oh, yeah. The thing I cooked. Oh, this was fantastic. Well, I made two things. Like I said last week, I did the pot de crème from the Pioneer Woman's website, and I wanted to try another one of her recipes. It's been too warm out, but it started to cool off in Dallas, so I could actually cook it without killing my kitchen. It was spicy pulled pork. And what it is you take a pork shoulder, and you put it in the oven with two cans of Dr. Pepper, like a tablespoon of brown sugar, an onion, and this big-ass can of smoked chipotle peppers and a adobo sauce? I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a blue and white can. You just dump all this on top of the pork shoulder. You cook it for like 6 or 7 hours. Then when you get done, you shred it to bits, put it back in the liquid, and then you eat it on like tacos, and it's spicy and delicious, and it's pretty damn fantastic. So I made that, and all day while it was cooking, Siam kept texting me at work. It's killing me. My stomach is trying to crawl out of me and go find out what's cooking in the kitchen. And apparently Sarah could smell it coming up the stairs when he got home. And they were like, nom, 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 nom. And it was really, really good. So that is a definite keeper. And it was fantastic. So, yeah, Shiva cooks. We ate it on tacos with, like, sour cream, salsa, a little bit of cilantro, tomatoes, because I love tomatoes. And it's really, really good. So, Shiva cooks, because that's what Shiva does.
Cool. Sounds tasty. So, yeah, hopefully everything will be in place and we can go to OakleyCon. And nobody will be turned into goo or anything like that.
Goo?
You never know.
Okay.
It's like, suddenly we're goo furries.
Yeah. I like being solid. I don't want to be semi-liquid. Do I have to be semi-liquid?
Maybe. I don't know.
No.
I'm going to be a gas.
You're going to be a scorpion. No. If I get welcome scorpions this year, I'm bringing them to you.
Yay, I'll have welcome scorpions.
That was still, I hadn't seen them before that, and then last year just all the scorpions. Be a little fox. So, anything planned for next week?
Maybe Fuzz will be back.
Hopefully Fuzz. No, he's got Rain First.
I don't know if it's going to be him or Tieran going to Rain First, though.
Ah, okay.
If it's Tieran, then Fuzz is not going.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's Fuzz that's going, well, we won't have Fuzz next week.
Yeah.
I'll try to think of a topic. I mean, obviously me and Shiva, we love to talk about video games because the first 45 minutes of this was pretty much us talking about video games and WoW and stuff like
Well, next week we'll Mist will have actually hit, so we'll be able to tell about live perceptions, not just beta. And like we could like, you know,
I barely played beta. I was super glad when they changed the Jade Forest intro, though.
Well, I didn't look at it because I didn't want to ruin it and, you know, play the game I'm paying for. Oh, yeah, ruin the game I'm paying for. So.
Oh, I only did, like, the Jade Forest intro. That's it.
I couldn't.
Because, like, both times I started to do it, there was a bugged quest, and I was like, nope, I'm just going to go get my guys leveled up and geared for.
Too many people.
Pandas. So, I guess on that note. And big balls. Derp-a-derp-a-derp-a-derp.